Mekutah Torah, Parshas Bahar, page 80, top of the second column. Okay, the Alter Rebbe is basically explaining that the four avodas of planting and grinding and kneading and baking is the four levels of serving Hashem. Basically, bittul, then you grind it up, then you bind the particles, and then you bake the particles, and there's the different levels of ahava, of love. But it all has to be through the davening. Davening awakens this love of Kreis HaNefesh. So he says, V'ayitzeis, top mamish top of the page, first line, of 82nd column. V'ayitzeis, v'china safiya mamish. What's the second level of baking? The first level, he says, baking is the heat causes the ava aza, the strong love, like the burning love of Hashem. And he says, the second thing of afiya, baking is, like it says in the pasuk, when Yosef finally was revealing himself to the brothers, it says, Yosef hurried up. Simply means like his compassion just opened up. He says, "Nichmeru rachmav meloshin mechame bisra," is an expression of chamimus, is an expression of his skin became. "Nichmeru rachma" means he became warmed up, heated up. "Rachmanus imitzad chamimus," compassion, rachmanus, comes from warmth. Cold people can be compassionate. If you're compassionate, it's warmth. Yisrael, what does this have to do with Yosef? Kinei Yisrael nikra Hashem Yosef. The Yidden are called on Yosef's name, like it says, Neikatzayn Yosef, that Hashem leads them like the tzayn, the sheep of Yosef. And therefore, tzarech le'eder rachma al-bechines binyamin. What happened over there in Chumash? Yosef had rachmanis on binyamin. And because of that, right, he went off into the room and cried and eventually revealed himself to the brothers. So he says, Yosef had to have the level of Rachmanus and Binyamin. Shenikra ben Eini is called the son of my affliction. That's why she called him, he was called Ben Eini. Okay, well, Rachel called him Ben Eini, the son of my affliction, because she died when he was born. Finally, it's Mimorah, the Chushman, of what it means is to be a person of reckoning, lachshev al nafshi, to make a reckoning with the soul. Eichyor damata mata, the way the neshama comes all the way down. Kolchad l'fumata yoda inish benafshi. Basically, what every person knows, how far down their neshama falls. Olarachim al nitzu telokushabai. And to have pity on the neshama, the spark of alokus, of the neshama that fell into the gulf. We learned this many times. One of the ways of awakening Rachmanis on oneself is to realize that the neshama comes from such a lofty place and it comes down into such a low place. And therefore, it's a Rachmanis and godliness that he's in jail. Like you hear somebody's in jail, you have pity on them. Especially when they don't deserve to be in jail. So our neshama is in jail in the body. Then the pasuk continues. Okay, this pasuk says like this: Yosef saw Binyamin, he got the srachmanis. Then he came into the room and he cried. Like it says, the pasuk says, in the hidden places my soul will cry. What does it mean in the room? And the room represents in the deeper parts of the neshama, in the rooms of the neshama. When we come, came nevertheless. By Yisapik, he held himself back. By Yemen, he said, Simulechem, bring bread. Because Torah needs simultaneously both things. It needs to be joy on one side of the heart, and in bitterness in the second side of the heart. Like the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, Chavet kia beliba misitrida, there has to be joy, like vigilu berada. They should rejoice, at the beginning of Tillim, vigilu berada, they rejoice, trembling. That means there has to be the simultaneous. So the Alter Rebbe is explaining this pasuk, the story with Yosef and Binyamin. Yosef represents the Jewish people. Naikat Sain Yasef. Yasef had Rachmanis when he saw Binyamin, Ben Aini. What is Binyamin referred to? Who's the son of my affliction? The neshama coming into the body. And he has Rachmanis that the neshama Nebuch has to come into from such a high place to such a low place. And then he says, Vayave Achadra, he came into the room, meaning in a hidden place, that the Yasef didn't cry out in the open. He cried out in a room, meaning in a hidden place, which represents the deeper levels of the neshama. And then he came out and he says he held himself back. And he said, give bread, meaning give Torah. You have to learn Torah. And he said, Bezel vayove achadra vayev shama shama daik. Vayideiz enasis ha-Torah b'chines lechem ofui mamash. And then Torah becomes the real digestive food. In other words, when you have not only Torah, but you have the bittul of Torah, the bitterness of the neshama, meaning the level of bittul that the neshama has, then Yasef says, bring bread. Because then the Torah learning, like he said before, Torah learning without davening first, without first the level of bittul, Torah, the Gemara says, could be poison. Sama mavis. And the Gemara says that Torah is like medicine. Zacha, if you merit, meaning, in simple English, you learn Torah the right way, then it could become the poison of life, medicine. Lei zacha, you don't learn it properly, it could become poison to kill you. Sama mavis. So Torah is like it says, like medicine. Medicine could cure you, but that's only if you do it the right way. You take the medicine the right way. Like we said, you're going to have one pill three times a day, and the guy's going to say, well, if one pill three times a day works, 10 pills 10 times a day for sure is going to work. I mean, think about it. If three times a day, 30 times a day for sure is going to work. So what's going to happen? That's what will kill him. So he's saying, when could be simu lechem tatus called lechem, like we learned, bread? Because it sustains God, it keeps Hashem in the world. So therefore, when in order for Torah to be proper, first you need the level of nichmeru rachma. First you need to have rachmanis and the neshama and Binyamin. Yasef Eden has rachmanis and the neshama that came in suffering in the body, but there has to be the level of rachmanis, awakening this, not ego. And therefore, the Gemara says like this, when a person learns Torah the wrong way, and the Rebbe brings us down even in Hilchos Talmud Torah, so it's not only Kabbalah, it's even in Halacha, that when you learn Torah for the wrong purposes, you are lowering the Torah into Sholosh Tzivos HaTmeis, into total evil. That means a person learns Torah not Lishma, he lowers Torah into Sholosh Tzivos HaTmeis. So why should a person learn Torah? Unless you're a tzaddik, you shouldn't be learning Torah, because all you're doing is lowering Torah into Shoshim Tzadmeis. So it says, because the Gemara says, Miter Shalei L'shma Bal L'shma, eventually the Torah says, even if you learn it for the right purposes, eventually it's going to become the right purpose. And then it says in Kabbalah that when you learn Torah once, L'shma, you're going to re-elevate all the Torah from Klipa and elevate it to Kedusha. And that would have been interesting. In Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Alter Rebbe says, "Bein begilgul zeh, bein begilgul achet." Whether you learn Torah lishma this time around, next time around, it's still worth it. But in order for Torah to be proper, the ego of Torah, the poison of Torah, got to be eradicated. By days and nasis haTorah, and then Torah becomes baked bread, sheniv lebeivodeh demalkah. That becomes absorbed in the limbs, like food becomes digested into the limbs. It becomes digested in the limbs of Hashem. Pchinas bitul ba'arivari ma'ensav baruch into the ensav of Hashem. Aide shenivra be'vari nafshel ukritz. By being absorbed in the limbs of the godly soul. Because we know, and Tanya Dalt Rebbe also says, the neshama also has 248 limbs and veins and all that. Spiritual ones, obviously, but the neshama also has it.
If a person learns in order to become a better person, is that considered...
That's not lishma.
That's That's still not, that also goes to Shlosh Kibbutz and Tumas. So even if you want to become a better person.
Yep.
But that's how they carve people. They say.
We're not saying that. You have to do it Shalei Lishma. Mitei Shalei Lishma Balishma. None of us should be learning Torah, by the way. If that's the story, because we're not none of us to learn the Lishma. Lishma means only because Eivishtu wants. Not because I become smarter, not because I become better, it's all me. It's all about me. Like the Rebbe explains, when the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, from the Gemara in Shabbos, that Rashbi said that whatever they do, chesel umam chatas, that's why he had to run into the cave for 13 years. Because he said, "En it's chesed umam chatas. The chesed goyim do is chatas sin." That's what pasuk says. And Rashbi said, "They only do it to show off." Yeah. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says that the nefesh abamis of a goy, the end of the first parak of Tanya, that the nefesh abamis of a goy, even when they do good, it's not good. That's what the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, the end of the first parak. The Rebbe explained how we find goyim that do good. So he says, it's not good for good. It's good because I become a good person by doing good. If I'm a nice person, I become a better person. Right? And that's not real good, because if it's going to hurt you, you won't do it. And then he said, no, we find the righteous goyim that taka. Do things, the people were saving from Holocaust, they were risking their lives.
Schindler.
Yeah, all those, I mean, there's a lot of people like that, that were hidden, so they're taka chassidei umas Salem, that they're never Shabbamis, comes from Klipas Noiga, not from Shoshki Tzatmeis.
Studying Torah to receive the
Tzah, it's not the Shema. Again, it's all for reward.
But that's what the Mishnah.
That should be our problem.
Your answer.
That's not, I promise you, it's not our problem.
Rabbi, so you're not supposed to learn to enjoy. If you can learn the Shema and enjoy, that's a lot.
If it's the Shema, it's not enjoyment. Enjoyment means you. The Shema means Hashem. If there's you and there's Hashem, it's a contradiction.
If you're miserable,
miserable is again you. I'm miserable. It's all me. By the way, that's a very lofty level. Let's go. And that's what the Gemara says. Fortune is the one here that comes here and this Talmud is in his hand. What does it mean, Talmud in his hand? L'cheira, it's a very expression. The Gemara says, fortune is the one that comes to Gan Eden and his Talmud is in his hand. So when is learning in your hand? Learning's in your brain, in your heart maybe. So he says, what does it mean? It digested itself into every part of the person's body. Talmud becomes once. But the mushul, he says, what happens if you don't break the bread? You make dough, shape it into the size of the shape of the challah or bread, and then you go eat it. It's dangerous. You can't eat raw dough. He said, Masha'en kim le'afia now. It's not going to be absorbed in the limbs of the person. Because when is bread called bread, by the way? After it's baked. Before it's baked, it's not called bread yet. And it says, Lechem levav enish yisod. Then it becomes food. Before you bake it, it's not called bread. David's stomach is not able to cook it, meaning digest it. And then what happens after he gives a biology class? Says if you take raw dough and you eat it, yeah, it doesn't become absorbed in the limbs of the body. It just stays separately. You have the stomach and you have your dough. Mashal derech mashal. Now without the level of baking, then if you don't have, like he says, with this baking of Torah, meaning the love permeating the Torah with love of Hashem, meaning bittul, he says then it doesn't become absorbed, and then Torah, it becomes separate entity, and you become a separate entity. Torah doesn't become yours. It's like a person who learns Torah and doesn't keep it. Okay, they learn about Shabbos, but they don't keep Shabbos. Or they learn about kosher, they don't keep kosher. So what happens? They're learning, and their life is not connected. It's two separate things. Like Aristotle said, I'm not Aristotle. In other words, there's a level of what I do, do as I say, not as I do. That's,
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the reverse? If they don't do it, but they learn.
No, that's the problem. No,
it's not the reverse. They
you mean the reverse? If you learn it, if you do and you don't learn, that's okay. But how are you going to do if you don't learn?
You just mimic.
Mimic, okay, that's learning. How do you teach somebody? A person teaches somebody by being a living example, not by preaching. We were in here last Shabbos, we spoke about that.
But Rabbi, even if the person learns but doesn't do it, that learning is considered on a certain level of doing.
It's learning doing. But the Gemara says if you learn with the intent that not to keep, you should have never been conceived. Because Torah is not like anything else. Torah is kihem chayenu. Torah is, yes, it's chachmasa shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the wisdom of Hashem. But the only way Torah is digested in the person is when he lives it. And if you learn Torah and you don't live it, you should have never been born. In other words, in the secular world, I could be brilliant and in medicine and not live a healthy lifestyle. I could be brilliant in morals and not keep them. Okay? But then it's not detrimental to you. The knowledge doesn't hurt you. In Torah, if you learn without doing, it's detrimental. The Torah says you should have never been born. You shouldn't exist. Because Torah is a hidah, the Zayah says, hidah, guidance. Which means Torah is how to guide your life. It's not a wisdom. It's how to live.
24/7.
Yeah. 24/7 from the minute you're born until the minute you die.
Yeah, but you can teach a person who doesn't keep Shabbos about Shabbos and then in hopes that...
In hopes?
Yeah.
But again, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And that's the difference. I'll give you an example. A guy who's not from yet, yeah, not Shem Shabbos, is driving to Shul. Okay? You can have two approaches. You can either throw the guy out, okay? Or you come to him and say, listen, the event, I mean, you don't have to say these words, but eventually, conceptually, this is what happens. You teach the guy the ultimate goal is not to drive on Shabbos. You're not there yet. Okay, but at least you're in that direction. That's different than telling a guy drive to Shul on Shabbos.
Yeah.
And that's when you tell somebody drive to Shul on Shabbos, you're telling them to desecrate Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. Halachically, you're not allowed to do that. Because then you're telling him to sin. Like this, a guy is taking his first steps. Okay? You know he's going to plop down in a minute. You know, like a baby, you're at the first step, you're going to plop down. But you know you're in the right direction. You're not there yet. None of us are there yet. So, Amit Hashem, you'll get there. It's a world of a difference. If you say to a guy, drive on Shabbos, versus... We're not telling you what?
What the goal is, the goal.
The goal.
Rabbi, you tell him to come to shul. If you don't tell him to come to shul, he's going to preach, for example. So he's going to be driving anyway. So what's wrong with telling
him to come? Where is Shabbat to be?
Depends which beach.
There
is such a heter, but it's not necessarily true. Because let me ask you a question. What happens if it will drive a greater distance to shul than to the beach? So where is he mechal Shabbos more?
Just for the reason.
Let's say the beach takes 10 minutes and to shul takes 20 minutes.
One beach, right?
Yeah?
That's a good thing, yeah. That's inherited.
Right. Stop. What? Which one's more Chil Shabbos? Coming to Shul. So there are people that say it's better that than that. Okay, but that's a whole halachic issue. But you're not telling the guy to... you're not allowed to tell a person to drive. No matter what. Can't they drive to Shul?
So what do you say?
You could say, come to Shul.
You say that you're not holding at this level, so for you it's okay
to... No. Oh. No. You say, come to Shul.
No.
Amidst Hashem... You don't have, as I said, you don't say those words. It's the conceptually.
But when you said you would come to Shul to him in his mouth, that means.
But that's not what you said. Halachically, there's a. Okay, we're not. I'm learning halach now. Are you allowed to invite somebody to your house if you know they're going to drive?
If you offer them a room to stay.
So, okay. Between me and you, they're not going to stay. But you offer them a place to
hopefully
stay.
Hopefully not.
Depends who they are, sir. It depends who they are. But when you offer them a place to stay, that means, as far as you're concerned, from your perspective, they don't have to be Mechal Shabbos. If a guy lives a mile from your house, a mile is walking distance. You're not talking about 30 miles. Yeah? A mile's walking distance. So then when you invite him to your house, you're not making him drive. Because he's able to walk. I have to think how he's going to get there. He can walk. Why shouldn't he walk? If a guy says, I'm going to drive, can I come? Then you have an issue. Halachically.
Then you have to discourage him?
Then you have to tell him, stay over. Even if he doesn't, but you offered the last word you got in, come and stay over, then you could do it. But again, you can't, and that's a very, again, I don't want to use names. There's certain movements in Yiddishkeit that say it's halachically okay to drive to shul.
They don't say halachic anymore. They don't say halachic. They just say it's okay.
Which means?
What does
halacha
mean to that?
Yeah, what
is halacha? By the way, you're wrong. They do have a halacha. They have a halachic committee, rabbinic halachic committee. I mean, it's a little warped, but they say halachically it's okay to drive to shul.
That's right. They make it to Crete.
Yeah, but not to the beach. Only to shul.
That's how it started.
Yeah, I know. But in halacha, there's no basis for that. It's a mitzvah of Aveda. A mitzvah that comes through a sin is not a mitzvah, Dalton Rebbe. It ain't a mitzvah cloud.
So it's one mitzvah and 100,000 sins.
Okay, let's go back.
S-T-E-V.
Okay, Dalit. Okay, Dim Shalim. Before the person learns, so the Gamkin Bolakan. Gemara says like this: Ashrei Misha Bolakan. Fortune is the one that comes here. The Talmudei Biyodei, and his learning is in his hand. But if you notice, before Talmudei Biyodei, that means it has to be baked and digested. It says you have to first come here. It doesn't say Ashrei Misha Talmudei Biyodei. It doesn't say fortune the guy has his Talmud in his hand. Misha Bolakan. That if you come here, meaning Gan Eden, and your Talmud is in your hand, meaning the Eres Ava B'Tfilah B'Mesidas Nefesh, you have to awaken the level of love and davening with Mesidas Nefesh. Ubitul Mitzis Eliv Yisbar, complete bitul Kadesh Yuchel Lomeiracha Kachal Derech Hanal, that he's able to learn properly. In other words, first you have to come Talukus, meaning you want to be attached to God, then you can digest the learning. Because if you're not learning to connect, then your learning is not learning. It's like philosophy and science and medicine, Talmud. You know, there's a course called Talmud. Therefore, the time to learn is miyad acher tefillah, is immediately after davening. Because balakan is the warmth of davening. Then b'talmud b'yodi, then you're able to learn. Then you get to the level of Ashrei. Okay, skip. One second. Upside down is the parentheses go. Oh. Okay, 10 lines to the end of the page. Vine Bavedis Akedem in the Veda of a vineyard. No, what's he saying here? Okay. Bavedis Akedem, the Veda of a vineyard, Sarch Lizami after prune. Hain Olixi Sakatim, Hamachalim Sakedem. It says, Sarchal is six of a Hamachal is Sizmer. See, and when the pasuk says in Shemitah year, yeah, you're not allowed to plant a field and you're not allowed to prune your vineyard. What's pruning? Pruning is taking off all the weeds, all the thorns, the junk that comes on the thing. And that's part of the same avodah we learned about planting. Because even if somebody weeds out a piece of land, piece of property, or a tree, that's part of planting. Why? Because by weeding out, the plant grows better. So it's part of the halachically, he says it's a part of the planting. Mishum d'smuchi kacha derech moshalim erat teira shubir er halacha. The same thing, learning teira, which is refining the halacha. Eicha yisalt that big gemara, the question of the gemara, the answer of the gemara, the whole thing. Because he says like this, all the when you learn, it's like a pruning process. When you learn Gemara, the questions, the answers, the discussion, the arguments, that's all basically to weed out all their wrong things, all the negative things in the learning, and to come to the halacha. So even in learning Torah, you have what's called the zameh, the pruning of the learning. In learning Torah, you have planting, that he said before is the level of the seed rotting, and the level of bittul when it comes to learning. And then you have in the vineyard, by the way, again, Chassidus explains, the Torah is about wheat and vineyard. What's the difference between wheat and vineyard? Wheat is necessity. Vineyard is luxury. You have Brain of Farshavas Chesreinon, I'll call Masha Barasa. There's also, it says, that the meaning of Brain of Farshavas. There's necessity and there's luxuries. In Avedis Hashem, you have the mandatory things and then you have the luxury things. So you have actually the level...
The need and the wants.
The need and the wants, correct. But that's the difference between wheat and pruning. But the Torah says even the pruning, even the vineyard needs to be pruned, which is also an aspect of learning Torah. It's also in learning Torah, you have the same thing. You have to prune Torah, meaning you have to get rid of all the things which are wrong or the negative questions and all that and so on.
Give an example, what you mean?
Anytime you learn Gemara, the Gemara asks a question, what does this mean? How there's a contradiction. He answered the contradiction to explain this is what the halacha means, not something else. Yeah. It's called a sukesh maitza libe the hilchus, so to make the halacha, to make the learning according to halacha. That's why it's like, but it says, when there's an argument in Gemara, but the Shambe Sildi Gemara said about every argument in Torah. Elo va'elo divir elokim chayim. Beishame's words, Beisil's words, the words of the living God. Then the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, uniqueness of David HaMelech was v'Hashem imay, halacha k'meisi b'chol mokim. That the halacha was always like David HaMelech. So in other words, over there it's v'havaya imay halacha k'meisi, not elokim. In the level of elokim, diversity, you can have Beishami and Beisilah. Chesed and Gvura, because there's diversity. In Torah, you can look at it this way, you can look at it this way. In Halacha, you got to look at it one way. That comes from the level of Yud Kei Vav Kei.
Yeah.